wives, if you got good beer, here's a little tip that I would like to relate.
It's that time. Leaf is in here. How you doing, Leaf?
Not too shabby. How you doing, Deputy D?
Well, you know, as far as I know, I'm doing okay, but I always feel like I should knock on wood whenever I say that, because you never know.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. So, last time we talked, you were about to head over to Omak Lake and do a little Lahontan trip, and I know the weather was, you know, it is touch and go, but it was worse than that.
Yeah, it was like... touch and go freaking crazy.
Yeah,
you know, that's what you get for making plans ahead of time, I guess, in the spring, you know. I did get over there a couple days last week. Went out on Friday ahead of the fly club's outing on Saturday. Friday, of course, was the day of the crazy cyclonic weather. My friend Bob and I managed to get over the loop before the washout. The guys there at the Seven Devils, though, had big bugged out eyes and looked pretty scared of what was going on.
Yeah, so I saw pictures of that.
Yeah, I said to Bob, wow, I hope we can get back over this way. And of course not. We ended up driving back around the long way, which I did a round trip on the next day.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, we actually over there at Omak on Friday, we had very little rain.
Really?
Just crazy wind. So you basically didn't have to back cast, you could just roll cast, and then it would shoot out there like 30 yards.
Yeah, that's good.
Got into a decent amount of fish.
Was
just kind of demoralizing as far as the weather.
Yeah,
you know, it just blows right through you after a while, but
You did see some.
Oh yeah, I landed like six and I lost one, I think, Friday. Bob got a few too, and cool. We saw another buddy of mine from the club out there as well, and he was getting into fish too. And then the next day, I went back over, saw a few folks from the club over there again, and managed to get into, I don't even remember, it was like four or five, and I just kind of started to get sick of the weather again, and that was, you know, plenty of hours on the lake at that point, and so... You know, I think maybe my best one was maybe 24, 25 incher. Not bad.
Yeah.
A really pretty male. Got some nice pictures I've all put up there. But, you know, I'd also been hearing about Rufus Woods being super hot. So
so you packed up and headed out.
And I was just like, you know, just driving and driving. So I got out there. And, well, I thought I was going to be able to just drive maybe 10 minutes down from the end of Omak Lake. I think that's about exactly what I timed it out to be to get to the Tim Ranch. But then I remembered vaguely hearing about a washout in the Tim Ranch road from a friend right as I came sliding to a stop at a washout. And you know, I mean, you could probably walk. It's maybe a half mile down the driveway still to get there. But I had my boat, my little pontoon boat, and I wanted to put that thing in. So I remembered it being a little bit closer to get up to Nespelum Creek than it ended up being. Took a little while to get up there, drove up there, and of course, right when I pulled in, I knew what I was going to see as far as tributaries and what they're doing to main stems of anything right
now. Everything's
we're seeing that.
Turning chocolate.
Just a big old belch of brown was coming out of that sucker and the big, beautiful flat that it usually has. And so I thought it was probably all for naught, but then I saw a lot of guys down there. Looked like they were catching fish. One guy out in a pontoon boat as well, fishing on the fly, and he looked like he was out there for a reason. So I kind of just took it downstream of this greater rocky point that kind of edges off the bookend, the downstream bookend of Nespelum Creek flat there, and got around to what looked like a little bit nicer, clearer back eddy water. And it took me maybe 10 or 15 minutes to start keying in on them, and should have probably kept the first one that I caught because I was there to try to catch two fatties for my smoker. You know, it's fun to catch those fish and everything, but usually when I'm fishing triploid, it's another meat harvester fish. So I was just trying to get a couple good-sized ones. Should have, like I said, probably kept the first one, but it was only in that like 19-inch range, and then the next six were probably... 15 to 16 inchers, a pound and a half or something like that. So it's just like, dang it, you know, and I just ended up walking away with nothing. But, you know, it was fun. Did get blown off the water there too, though. Before that, I was so warm, I almost took my coat off, was about to apply some sunblock, and then, of course, this giant mountainous inky black storm came in.
But you had the boat with you, so you were able to find some clear water?
Just a little bit clearer. Yeah, a little downstream, kind of where the mud was shooting out into the middle of the stream, and then circulating around again enough to where it had a chance to drop out of the column. And I had probably 5 or 6 feet of visibility in it. It was plenty for these guys. I was pitching a full sink line with kind of like my pond monster, but it's just a black leech with a red head, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were grabbing it. And, you know, I would definitely say, regardless of the color of the water over there, I'm sure over at Rufus, and my friend from Grand Coulee mentioned some of his best days are in brown water on that thing. So,
oh, really?
That's definitely still a go-to.
So those fish are just used to it. I mean, they deal with it.
Well, and they've just dumped out so many into that thing. Recently, I heard, I don't know, maybe a rumor, but some of them were having a hard time tolerating the nitrogen that can be coming off the spillway up there at Grand Coulee.
Oh.
And so maybe they were trying to lighten up the load, you know, and mm-hmm. the densities there. And so it sounds like maybe they cut some additional fish loose so they just wouldn't lose some fish, too.
Interesting.
So, yeah, definitely count that one in there if you're into triploids, if that's just sounds like fun to you. Rufus Woods is going right now. Friends went down to Rat Lake on Saturday, same day I was fishing Omak, and, you know, it sounds like it had brown water coming in from the top, the little creek there by Mouse Pond. Same thing can thaw these lakes earlier, mm-hmm. but it can also kind of lead to some turbid conditions. But, you know, I feel like I'd rather try to fish in that than really green, algae-dense water. That kind of turnover seems to affect them even more. So usually you can kind of find the end of the lake where the water's clearing up and do okay. And it sounds like they did that down there. I'm not sure. One or two brown trout were caught there, and the rest rainbow. I know it's usually like 1 in 10 that you'll see planted in there. It's like 1,000 brown trout, 10,000 rainbow per year or every other year, something like that. So that kind of reflects what you'll see there.
Yeah, so just to remind everybody, rivers, streams, not going to be open until Memorial Day?
Until Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And then that'll be every river in the state, unless otherwise specified. That's a nice new kind of golden rule, generic one that help you there.
What are you expecting for lakes close to us coming up?
You know, I think that, you know, those sliver openers, those just a little bit of the ice opening enough to get in there and fish is going to start happening at Patterson, Davis, you know, maybe even Cougar Campbell, those kind of things. Those are all year-rounders. Oh, also Leader Lake, and then the others won't be opening until general opener. Also Frost Lake, but
I heard about
some crazy stuff up there. Well, again,
there was some stuff about the road going up there, which, like every year that there's any runoff, that thing turns into the ditch, and so it's...
Well, and I think that the lake last year was just like this boiling cauldron
from the
super active springs up above it, too. And that didn't really do anything for fishing up there either. So probably just going to count that one out until it calms down up there, like a lot of these others.
But one thing note is parking there, if you were to go up, it's going to be an issue because you need to leave room.
It's just a mud bog, too. Might want to just avoid it. Yeah. I mean, it might just lead you to more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
Other openers right now that are of note for sure, you know, Omak will be good. You'll be driving the long ways around for a while. Washburn Island Pond down there off the Columbia, as well as those smaller ponds on the Cashmere Bar. That's an area that's basically the mouth of the Okanagan. The north end of that, the upstream of that, is what they call the Cashmere Bar, and that's just dotted with little ponds that are just choked full with nice-sized bass. So if you have like a small pontoon boat or maybe a sit-on-top kayak some people fish out of, those are going to be killer for you. Just have to get your res license there.
Yes.
And then moving upstream there is Washburn Island Pond, that bigger water impoundment that's just off the side of the Columbia there, just upstream of where the Okanagan comes in.
Lots of
options.
It's
up by the Colville Historic Museum or Tribal Museum or something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just after that on the right if you're heading towards Bridge Creek or Bridgeport. And then I've got Bridge Creek stuck in my mind because we're waiting for these things to come down so we can get our steelhead traps in there.
I mean, I think it's always fun to find out what you're doing with work.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to be doing? What are these traps for? What do you accomplish?
These, you know, the traps that we use are designed to catch kelp on their downstream migration. So they passively allow fish to go upstream and then catch them on their way back downstream. But we also have to kind of work with Mother Nature and the levels here, because we just plain can't make it through some of these peak flows. So yeah, a lot of time the fish are going to ride that peak flow or tail end of that peak flow up. So as long as we can get it in there just after the peak, when it's starting to come down mm-hmm. there, whenever it's safe for us and our trap and the fish that are in there, then we can kind of get it in there just before they make their way back down. And then we grab those ladies that have spawned and that are wild, mm-hmm. Take them back to our facility, recondition them, get them back into good shape so that they can be re-released and do it again.
Cool.
Yeah. Lending their genetics again to this wonderful population of steelhead that we have.
Yeah. Always fun to talk to you, man.
Hey, it's great to see you too, my friend. If anybody needs any fishing tips, wants to book a trip, just get a hold of me at flyfishersproshop.com. You can check out our blog or podcast there. You can drop me an email at metalfishingadventures@gmail.com, or you can give me a call at 509-429-7298. And hey, hope that wind don't blow you away or you line up out of the water. But until that such time as we see each other again, get that fish right on. My mama's gone fishing and the baby gone fishing.